The different Gospels, as I'm given to say, do different things and are for different purposes. But it escaped my notice for whatever reason until this week that they tell the story very differently. Matthew is the only gospel that says word one about the Magi. And there's no shepherds to be found anywhere in Matthew. Luke, on the other hand, is all about the shepherds and forgets about any visitors from the east. So they're all telling different stories. But in its composite, we build up the image of the Christ and what is being revealed. So hear this from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, about the visitors from the east. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star rise in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of all my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We all like a good quest. It sounds like something out of fiction or the old tales of chivalry long ago, but who doesn't like a good quest? Go and find and discover yourself along the way. A quest is that activity where we go looking for something. And when we get down to it, we may or may not discover it or know what we discover along the way when we get there. We might look for our keys, but we quest after our imagination and after an invitation to follow. We might imagine what it would be like or summon ourselves to consider our expectations, but until we are there, until we are following along, no one knows what's going to happen or how you might change or where the journey might lead. Other animals may travel great distances to find food or to mate or simply to get back up the river that they spawned in, moving out a genetic imperative. We can quest to seek out what we don't know, hoping in every way to be made better in the process. And any good quest has to have a hero. Those individuals who come in on snowy white steeds ready to face down the most fearful dragons and to do whatever needs to be done. Our heroes here are three magi, kings of the East. In our traditional nativity models, they're kind of the outer ring of the thing, aren't they? And you have Mary and Joseph and the baby, and then the animals and the shepherds, and then the magi out here along the way. That's how we usually set it up. And generally, they're on the outside looking in. And we're not always quite sure what to do with them. And they're wise men, yes, but have you read this story with an eye towards directionality? We saw a star in the east, and we followed it, and we ended up in Judea, well west of where we're thought to come from. Huh? And then they get lost along the way, and just sort of slyly come up to the friendly neighborhood dictator and say, by the way, would you happen to know where the new king is? Without any implication that this could be in any way problematic, or to be clued off that this guy has a bit of an unnatural interest in who and what and why. These guys were sincere and persistent and genuine, sure, but sometimes I have to wonder about whys. Yet, these people, as ham-fisted as they might have been, they did the most important thing. They set out. They set out on a quest to say, I wonder, what would happen? And they took that fearsome step where the invitation of the road encounters cruel reality and overtakes better sense to stay dry and warm at home, and they go running after a star, no matter how peculiar it might be. They found a way in the midst of the heavy weight of, well, this is the way things are, the way things always have been, the way things always will be, that find enough courage and vision to say, I wonder, and where might it take us? We risk being swept off into something bigger than themselves. And that takes a great deal of faith and courage and hope and downright imagination, because no matter how prepared they thought that they were, and know how good their stellar cartography, surely they must have been surprised and come along in the unknown. Actually, if you read some of the non-canonical texts, you have whole stories about up to even 12 magi and the various ones that peeled off along the way and came off there. It's a fascinating study if you really want to get into that sort of thing. I wonder how much they are like us. Our world is full of signs and wonders. Our lives have stars from the east. Even in the vast periods of the time that defy imagination, things always call to us and speak to us and lead us onward if we have eyes to see them and courage to follow where they lead. Now, not every light in the sky that catches our eyes is worth following. It's not always worth questing out to find where each one goes. It might just be the latest 737 coming into Moses Lake. But sometimes there is something different there. If we can see and open our minds to the possibility of what God is doing it. But there's still more hurdles. Even if we do see something and say, I wonder, we have to get to the point of saying, I wonder so much that I can't do anything different. Because most of the time, if we see and have a sense that we're being led forward, our natural response goes something like, but surely not me. You can't be talking to me. You can't have me in mind. I wonder, we would much rather sit and admire the beauty of the heavens from afar than risk becoming involved in where they might lead. We know too well that questing is a dangerous thing. Following stars is not always logical. But here we stand at the new year. It's hard not to sit at a moment such as this and look around us before and behind and say, I wonder where I have been. I wonder where I'm going next. And to look up and see what the sky might hold. We're invited to ask ourselves in this time, in this place, what is it that I seek? What am I questing for? Who am I looking for? These wise men had their eyes open, searching for a sign or something to lead them. And the question that we must ask ourselves as we begin a journey of a new year is, what are the signs around us? What might they be asking us to do? What might God be saying here and now? And most of all, we just need to be looking, because oftentimes if we're not looking, we're never going to see. We're never going to notice. W.H. Auden, the 20th century poet and Christian poet, wrote an epic poem of the Christmas story called For the Time Being. It was later set to music and turned into an oratorio. I've read the script and I was struck with his treatment of the Magi. Because what he has is this scene where the Magi are speaking with the star, and then the star Nativity is actively warning them not to come, saying, I am the star most dreaded by the wise, for they will be drawn against their will to me. I shall deprive you of all your minor tasks. And to this, the first wise man replies, to discover how to be truthful now is the reason I follow the star. And the second, to discover how to be living now is the reason I follow the star. And the third speech, to discover how to be loving now is the reason why I follow the star. And then, in concert, the three speak together to discover how to be human now is the reason we follow the star. We follow to discover how to be human now. That's the reason why we follow the light of the world. That's the reason why we quest out, not always being sure or certain of where it might lead or how it might end. It's our quest. It's our revelation here and now. In this day of Epiphany, of the revelation of the light of the world, we are invited to open our eyes anew to the signs and wonders all around us and see where we might be invited to head next. This invitation is always open to enter into this mystery of God made flesh and to join the quest of the kingdom coming. And we're really tempted to simply stick with the easy answers of following along, of, well, we just want to be here and present and going along as we will. We're being led well enough, and that's fine. But we owe it to ourselves to also always ask, what more might God be asking us into? Because when we truly see the one that lies before us, to actually meet him and be formed by the journey along the way, to quest after Christ, our journey will be changed each and every time. And will change us as we go along. Oh, my people, as the prophet would have it, arise, shine, for your light has come. Your light has come, and you are invited to step out on the road yet again and participate in the dawning of the reality around us, the dawning of the kingdom coming, the kingdom already here. My question to you as we stand again at this dawn of new year, a new time, a new epiphany, is that of what calls you forward? And what might you risk to quest, risk to discover, risk to hope? What is it that you seek? Sit with that. Study that. And hold that before you, because we seek often, and what we seek determines what we find.